Welcome to the Super Speedway.
So welcome to the first episode of the Super Speedway podcast. We'll start things out by introducing ourselves.
Welcome to episode 100 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. Welcome to episode 200 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. Welcome to episode 300 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, October 17th, 2023. I am your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as almost always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, 300.
I love that. One, you surprised me with that. That was great.
I know. I didn't want to give you any clue it was coming.
No, that was great. That was great. But also the clear audio, like, improvements over the 300 episodes.
Right?
Wow. Really well done.
Yeah.
So you went back and listened to at least a little bit of episode one. Yeah. How bad was that?
Well, it was really difficult to go and find the hard drive that it was on, because I've got like so many old hard drives and I didn't know which one it was on. I was pretty sure I knew which one it was on. And then I got caught in a rabbit hole and was watching a bunch of other stuff that was on a drive that I haven't touched in forever too. So, but yeah, no, I only listened to the intro because for some reason I thought we screwed the intro up really bad in the first one. I was confused with something else. So, I was very grateful that I only had to listen to the intro.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
That is exclusive too, folks. You can't find that anywhere. It is not available for download. It is lost to time.
Well,
and
that's
SoundCloud,
for the better.
I guess.
Yeah, that's for the better.
But I have it. I have it. I have all the original files. I have so much blackmail material on you, James, for pre-show discussions, post-show discussions that I recorded. So,
well, that goes both ways, but you're in charge of those files.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. But, 300, who'd have thought we'd make it 300 episodes when you did that first one?
Yeah. it's pretty crazy. I don't know. Every time we hit one of these milestones, it's always a good time to reflect, but man, yeah, it's been fun. You know, we started it on a whim and now it's just kind of like our routine. Like, I don't know, like tonight is a great example. Like, I had family stuff going on and this dinner thing, and then it's like, man, I gotta get on the podcast. It's, you know, it's gotta be tonight, you know. It's, and my wife's like, yep, I got the kids. So you know, it's evolved from those very early days where we don't know what the heck we were doing. It's like, oh, we got this now.
Yeah, we've somehow managed to pull it off in times when we shouldn't have. I mean, just it's impressive what we've been able to manage to get done. It just knowing, you know, just from our end, the commitment to actually make it happen is pretty incredible, because we both have a lot of other stuff going on. But I mean, it's really cool. We started this just to goof around and talk about NASCAR, which we did all the time anyway. And we figured, well, we'll record it and let other people listen to it. And it spawned into being freaking media members at NASCAR tracks. I mean, I had a conversation with Jimmy Johnson. Brad Keselowski said my name.
Well, Eric.
Yeah, it's like, it's just incredible what we've been able to do and still continue to be able to do with this. So,
yeah.
Grateful to everybody who's listened along the way. Grateful to NASCAR, who's given us access, and other, you know, series as well. SRX, you know, IndyCar has given us some access. You know, we've had some pretty cool things as a result of this. So,
yeah, and made some good friends along the way.
Definitely.
Like, people that we continue to keep in contact with, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was friendly with Derek Winter, but through this podcast, been able to kind of keep in touch with him. And we met, you know, Baron Speedway through this.
Yeah.
Many moons ago, which has been cool. And then, you know, the Lap Traffic podcast, Eric, you've been on that.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, we've got some, you know, just, it's all out of good fun. You know, yeah. We're not trying to make a career out of it or anything like that, but it's been a good time, and I enjoy getting to chat with you. So it's been great.
Yeah. Same here. It's been a lot of fun. It gives me an excuse to talk to you every week, because otherwise we just text each other, because I don't know how to pick up the phone. So,
yeah. Well, and it's good because we can diffuse our annoyance, because I know I drive you crazy sometimes. so that's good.
I just get to call you out on the podcast if it happens.
Exactly. And then we hit the reset button, and then we do it all over again the next week.
Exactly. Yep. Well, let's do that right now, James. Let's talk some Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the South Point 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series. First race in the round of eight. And Kyle Larson does it with you know, I just drew a blank at the words, but he didn't draw a blank this weekend by winning both stages
with and the race. Ease.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, relative ease, because Christopher Bell tried to make a race of it at the end.
He did.
But yeah, you can't have a more convincing victory than that. And I mean, definitely a great way to start the final round of the playoffs. And
yep.
I mean, I'll take the win for our picks, because I mean
that yep.
It's a good win.
Your first win of the season, and also our first perfect day
yeah.
of all of our picks, and that's the biggest win of the season. So you you climbed you got a bunch of milestones off the deck there.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you picking from the back end of the field to try and make it a race at the end of the season here for us. But
well, when Eric Jones got in trouble early in the race, I went, oh boy, I'm in trouble this week. But he rallied, got me 10 points.
The best part was that I was cheering against Larson so bad in this race, because A, I wanted Keselowski to win it, and B, I wanted Bell to catch him, man. I wanted to see him side by side coming off that last turn, and it was close.
They were one lap away from a real hectic final lap.
Yeah.
And that was hectic enough, I think. But, yeah, you know, you bring that up, and one of the first things I thought of was, one, I was rooting for Larson, because I think very highly of Kyle Larson. I know you do as well.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love seeing Larson win, and I would be very happy when he wins his second yeah. championship this year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I was really impressed and grateful for how Christopher Bell ran him yeah. down at the end of the race. It's so often we see guys get dumped nowadays, and in all levels of NASCAR, you know, top three series racing, there's a lot of dumps that happen along the way. And Chris ran him fair and ran yep. him really, really hard and didn't take him out for the win. And there's a lot on the line, and that is so rare to see somebody be that clean at the finish. So just two great race car drivers at the peak of their craft, just really going at it really hard. I thought that was a great finish.
I agree. Bell certainly could have cleaned him out coming off of four. That being said, could Bell have cleaned him out without wrecking himself? I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing, yeah.
But I don't think Bell even thought about it. You know, he just wanted to race him for the win. And obviously he was real disappointed at the end. But I think he should be proud of that performance, and certainly proud of the way he raced him. And you know, again, I like chaos. I'm down for some chaos, but
yeah,
I'm happy to see a nice clean finish like that. And, you know, really a race that our mile and a half have almost gotten crazy lately. And this one was pretty much a traditional race, right?
Yeah, this was a good race as far as there was some decent action, comers and goers throughout the day. And I thought there was just a lot of interesting things going on, because you had guys like Truex, for example, who looked like, man, he really figured it out, and then he kind of faded.
Wow.
And then Hamlin would come up.
Faded
and
or had a terrible pit strategy.
Yes. That's yeah. Yeah. Faded for different reasons, right?
Yeah.
And then you had Brad trying to play the spoiler, and he was racing really aggressively. We had a lot of restarts there towards the end that really kind of towards the beginning of stage three, middle of stage three. But yeah, really just, you know, classic mile and a half race. All your playoff drivers were in the mix. A couple of other guys kind of playing around out there. And yeah, I mean, we got a lot of intrigue, I think, out of this one.
Yeah.
You know, I think we locked in one of our final four guys that we knew would probably get there.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a shock to see. Well, when you've got Las Vegas and Homestead back to back in the second to last round, you kind of expect Larson to get through on one of those too.
Yeah.
Larson did lead 133 laps of this race, which is just under 50% of the laps. So, you know, pretty dominating performance, but he didn't do a Martin Truex type domination.
Yeah.
I was
going to say, we should mention, and I think if he wins this championship, that save.
Oh my gosh.
Off of corner number two there, in the second stage, was, I don't know where I don't want to rush to judgment and say that's the greatest thing I've ever seen, but the stakes and how the race finished, that is a championship. That's a championship save. It was unbelievable.
It's an iRacing save, James.
Oh, yeah.
It's what you do in iRacing. You just lock the brakes up.
Yep.
And it worked, you know, so many times. And we saw it later in this race. I don't remember who it was that hit the wall. Was it Bowman? Yeah, Bowman hit the wall because Bowman corrected and turned it right into the wall, just like they frequently do.
And Chase Elliott in practice, you know, obviously he had to go to a backup car. He had a flat tire, but similar, you saw the back end come out and then lock up the front and come back around and hit the front on the wall.
Yeah.
This was car control at, I don't know what level. Like, this is God level car control. Like, you don't say, guys just don't do that.
And this type of save is the type of thing you used to see Dale Earnhardt do. Things that nobody else could do.
Yeah, and Johnson comes to mind. Johnson would drive the thing sideways all over the place, and somehow he had the great car control. This was, like, I don't know what you would call, like, snappy loose, but... I don't know... I don't know if anybody else could make that happen without it being 100% luck, I guess.
Right.
But, yeah, he somehow... And to have that happen is one thing. And then he lost a bunch of positions, but to... Then
the caution.
He gets the car. He wins the stage anyway, and goes on and wins the race. Unbelievable! Yeah. Unbelievable. Yep, championship saving situation all the way around, right there.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned playoff drivers. Nobody really had trouble, or at least didn't have trouble that they couldn't overcome. Out of the playoff drivers, all of them finished in the top 11. Probably the biggest. I don't know, fail is the word that you want to go with, but the biggest struggle comes from Chris Buescher.
He likes both.
Damn it, Dale Jr. who did not get stage points throughout the race. No stage points. Only driver of the playoff drivers that didn't get stage points. Still gets an 11th place finish, but that puts him at the back of the pack. It puts him at the back of the pack, and then he wasn't at the back of the pack, and then now he's back at the back of the pack.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. But he's, 37 points out. So, I mean, he doesn't have to win to get in, but he's pretty darn close to having to win to get in.
Yeah,
you're not going to gain 37 points on these top four guys that easily.
Yeah, he's got, he's minus 37 to the leader. What is that? He's, because Blaney's 17 out, so he's what? He's,
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the NASCAR points and I don't know why they display them like this.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that, but it's
playoffs.
It's still,
that's what I want. Playoff points.
Yeah. It's still no matter what,
23 out.
Yeah. 23 out. So there you go. Yeah. So he's pretty much got to win. Blaney's got to win. I think Tyler Reddick might have to win.
I think Tyler Reddick's got to win too. I think the only one who's going to points his way in potentially is Christopher Bell.
Well, and that's because Chris had a monster day without winning the race. I mean, 52 points is basically as good as getting a win on most weeks. So that's a really good day.
Yeah. And that just goes to show you why Chris Buescher's not going to points his way in, because Christopher Bell's still two out with a day like that.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's all there is to it. You're not going to be able to points your way in from 23 points out with two races to go.
It's tough. It's going to be very, very tough.
Unless half the field wrecks for some reason, you know, that it's just not going to happen.
And Chris had such a great day in the end, like you said, and he's still 2 points out with a monster day. Only thing he could have done was win the race and pretty much, you know, lock himself in that way.
I think I think he's going to be in. I think his teammate's going to fall out. I think that 19's going backwards still.
Yeah, they finally got their top 10. They finally got their top 15.
Right.
And... It's just not enough. That team's just floundering. I still feel like they're just floundering around.
Yeah. Well, that pit call, I don't know what the hell you were thinking. I know it was only like six laps or whatever, but you already saw an example in this race of what worn out tires did. I mean, by staying out too long.
Yeah.
Some of the teams staying out too long. Like, he should have known. They should have known. That's a terrible call when you're trying to get into the final round.
Well, and that's a team that's reaching for anything they can get right now. Yeah,
but I don't think it was even that though, James. I don't think it was a strategy play to. I don't know. I don't know what
they just seemed lost. It just seemed lost. And when you are running as bad as they have been, you start making you just start making decisions you wouldn't normally make because you're just in a funk. They're just in such a funk.
Yeah.
I can't see them unless they find a way to win a race. I just cannot see them, you know, manufacturing their way to Phoenix. I mean, this has been such a bad run, you know, to have this bad of a run and to figure out a way to win this championship. I just don't expect it at this point.
No,
it's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's talk about Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney finishes, where the hell did he end up originally? Sixth place. And then we find out that he gets disqualified because of an issue with the shock, I believe it was,
shock height. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, but wait, there's more, because NASCAR then admits that something was screwed up, and when they retested it, it was fine, and therefore Ryan Blaney gets his points back, is undisqualified, and gets to retain his sixth place finish and his 39 points that he got in this race, and now goes from being dead last way out to
50. Yeah, he was 56 out.
17 out now in seventh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, credit NASCAR for correcting their mistake, I guess, right?
When is the last time they've done that?
I don't know.
I cannot remember NASCAR penalizing somebody and saying, yeah, our bad.
Yeah.
Without the appeals process coming into play.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember NASCAR saying, oops, we made an oopsie. I guess my personal feeling about it, feel free to disagree with me, is that
Roger got on the phone and said, listen here.
I don't think it matters. I think they have to win a race.
I agree.
Honestly, part of me, I don't believe this to be 100% true, but there was a part of me that thought, well, actually, this is better for them to have the disqualification because they're just going to win.
Same thing, because there's no reason to race for points if they're that far out.
Exactly.
Just race still has to race for points right now.
Yeah, that's the tough part, because I still think they have to win. They're going to have to win.
But it's not as clear cut.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be good at Martinsville. I don't think they're going to be Homestead. I don't know what they can do there, but if they can get themselves in position to run good at Martinsville, maybe. But I think he's going to have to win. He's going to have to win Martinsville.
Yeah.
But I guess unprecedented, but still kind of, I don't know. I guess good for Blaney. You're still in the hunt. I mean, he's not out of it.
Right.
But Eric, you get to this point in the season, none of these guys are really out of it. It doesn't matter how many points you are. It's you're one win away from glory to make it to the big show. Yep. So
all you got to do right now is win two races and you win a championship. You just
exactly
win again in the next round and win the last one.
Yeah, there was a chance that Martin Truex Jr. could have ended this this playoff run with just two top fives and won the championship.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's pretty nuts how this is working out for them. But yeah, this is, you know, the 12 car kind of is the one car that we thought, man, maybe he snuck his way through here somehow and got that win. It, you know, kind of one of the outside looking in type of guys. But, you know, it's for me, it doesn't change anything. He's got to win a race.
Yeah, I agree. Really, the only other, I think, big development out of this race, Ty Gibbs loses a wheel. And then now as a result, he's lost two crew members for 2 weeks. I mean, this is pretty much, we've seen this, so it's not a surprise. You know, when somebody loses a tire right after a pit stop, you know what it is without even having to look for the nut on the track. It was pretty obvious that was what was going to happen. So, NASCAR is staying consistent with this penalty. We've got, it doesn't, I gotta read fine print, so I'm not going to, but anyway, two crew members, Braxton Brannan and Jackson Gibbs have both been suspended for the next two Cup Series races. Yeah.
Is that his cousin, Jackson Gibbs, I think, right?
I guess, I don't know.
He was working on the, they made history because he was working on the 20 car and then he became the first, somewhere or another.
Gotcha.
And, to pit, for his, I don't know, fan member, something like that.
Well, there you go. You got more random knowledge than I do.
And it's not even great knowledge. It's just something that is kind of sticky and that may not be accurate. So,
James, it wasn't too long ago that you and I were at Michigan International Speedway and a kid named Kyle Larson won his first Cup Series race. He's now won 23 in a championship in 328 starts. I think this guy might be good, right?
I commonly state that he's the best race car driver in the world. Yeah. I honest to God believe that. And you can bring up anybody else you like. This guy does it all. He's the modern day AJ, Tony, Stewart. Anything.
This win this weekend, I mean, was kind of a given. He had a nice slow week. You know, he just won the championship in his own sprint car series that he owns.
Yep.
And then drove an Indy car.
200 and God knows how many miles an hour. Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, it was a pretty easy week for Kyle Larson.
Yeah. And now he's on the, you know, he's basically on in the catbird seat for the championship. Now they can, I wanted to ask you about this. Yeah. Speaking of that, they said that they're going to go to Homestead like they normally would and put a lot of focus into it. Right.
No, they're not.
What's the advantage?
They're not gonna give up on these next 2 weeks, but they're not gonna spend 100% of their time the same time they would have without. They're gonna put more time into Phoenix, even if it's just, you know, 15-20 minutes here, 15-20 minutes there. They're gonna put more time into Phoenix because they're not stupid. So,
I know, that's what I said. Why would you pour any resources into these last two races?
I mean, first of all, races? He doesn't probably need to put a ton of resources into Homestead because he's already pretty much the best driver there, even though he only has, mm-hmm. One win there. But he's the guy to beat there. Him and Reddick, if they're not battling for it at the end of this race, then one of them must have wrecked.
Yeah, I would lump Byron in there somehow.
Probably.
He's been pretty darn good there, too. That's the other thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Let's say Kyle Larson does go all out at Homestead and tries to win that race. The only thing he's doing is he's leaving the door open for his teammate to make it through, who's just as fast. Not just as fast. He can be as fast as Kyle. So it's, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a strategy game. These guys know what they're doing more so than I do. I don't want to claim to be an expert.
If Byron and Larson both make the final four and one of them, we know one of those two is going to win the championship. Which one is it?
Oh man. Oh my God. Well, I picked Byron to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's tough.
You got to lay in that bed.
Well, it's tough because Larson's got the head start now.
Well, not only does Larson have the head start, but he knows how to do it.
He's done it before.
Yeah.
He's done it before. He's won. He's been down this road.
Has Byron been in the final four?
No, he's not.
So there you go, too. You know, it's really tough your first time in the Final Four.
It is. It really is. Now, that being said, I think Larson won his first trip to the Final Four.
Yeah, but Larson's not human.
He's above the rest of us.
Right.
Mere mortals. I will say, though, when it comes to the Final Four, you look at this whole crop of guys, there's really only four guys who have got that much experience in it. And it's Larson, Truex, Hamlin, and Bell.
Right.
Of all people, Bell's been there before. He's been to the dance once. So there's not much, you know.
I mean, there's nobody with more experience in losing it than Denny Hamlin. So.
Yeah. Well, Truex, you know, Truex got one, but he's lost it a lot, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, nobody's lost him. I mean, lost a championship.
I will say least Denny didn't say he may have won the battle, but he's not going to win the war and then lost the war.
Yeah. Oh, what a time. That was a fun time.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. That French Row team was something else back then. I don't know how you balance this. I think it's tough. But all these teams have done it before. I mean, we've had multiple Hendrick cars, multiple Gibbs cars in the championship before. So it's hard to say. I like what I see out of Byron, and then every once in a while, it's like even at Vegas, it's like I expected just a little bit more from you. But Larson's done that to me too.
Yeah.
So it's like, Larson, why are you crashing? It's tough. It's nice to say Larson right now because he's sitting there already. He's there.
You mentioned, you know, Larson, if he doesn't go and win, or if he does go and win Homestead, that he leaves a spot open for his teammate. But Byron's pointing his way into this regardless of getting a win.
Yeah, he's the guy who can probably do it.
Been so consistent. I know he's only 7 points up from Truex and Hamlin, but they've been consistent, and Truex hasn't, and Denny hasn't been consistent enough. So I just don't see Byron not at least being in that fourth position with two new winners.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I don't. don't know if you're going to get two more playoff winners as it is.
It's tough. It's tough.
So.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's yeah, and Byron, you bring up a great point because he'll top five each stage,
yeah.
and then have a, you know,
that's what he's got to do.
Yeah, well, he'll be around. That's what he's done all season.
Yep.
He takes advantage of that team. Did they just take advantage of the opportunities that they're handed? And, yep. And if they're not there, they don't make mistakes.
They'll top five it, and if they're in position to take a win, they'll steal one. Mm-hmm. But that's just that team this year, and it's going to get them to the Final Four.
Yep. Yeah, and you think, Larson has 16 top 10s over the course of this entire season, Byron 19. And it's, you know, he doesn't have the top fives. He's got the wins, but he's always hanging around. He's just never gives the opportunities away. I mean, his average finish, just looking at this really quick, his average finish is 11th on the year. And you look at Larson, it's almost 15th. So it just shows you, like, the peaks and valleys are different between these two, where Byron's a little bit more of a steady, you know, a steady line. Larson can go up, he can go down. And Hamlin does that too. Hamlin does the same thing.
Do you know who all these guys need to be scared of going into Phoenix? The guy they need to not make the Final Four is Christopher Bell. Because you know what's going to happen. That race will be decided by the final pit stop. And if that team is on that day, they're going to be the fastest.
If they don't screw it up.
So that's the fear right now, is that Bell has a great pit crew when they're doing the right thing.
Yep. The guy I crossed off to make room for Brad Keselowski in my championship four, Christopher Bell. I wrote him down and then I crossed him off and I should have stuck with my gut. What a fool. What a fool. Christopher Bell making me look like an idiot.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
I do a good
sometimes
job.
Sometimes it's not hard.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Couldn't resist.
I know.
It's all good. Anything else with this one? Chase Elliott finishes 32nd.
Rough day. Rough weekend.
Yeah, Chase Briscoe crashed.
Hosovar.
We talked about. Yeah, Hosovar finished last and then lost his ride for the weekend.
Yeah. That was a rough go of it for Carson.
Poor Carson.
He's got his plan set. He's fine.
Yeah.
Chase Briscoe was just slow.
Yeah.
And we don't really need to talk about it. I just kept looking at the list. I'm like, why is he 32nd? Why is he 33rd all day? Just terrible.
Bet you Josh Berry can't wait to get to that team.
Oh my God. It's not good. It's not pretty. It's not pretty over there right now.
No, it is not. No, it is not. I don't think I have anything else for this one. Ty Gibbs was your highest finishing rookie, despite losing his wheel.
Yeah.
34th.
You mentioned Brad earlier, and I think if Brad and Chris could have swapped days, I think they would have taken that.
Definitely.
Because Brad was, I tell you what, Brad, there was a little bit of time there where I thought, man, he's going to get it done today.
Yeah.
He was tough.
38 laps tough led. Right now, Brad Keselowski is able to put together a good, like a top notch 25% of a race.
He and really does.
Just
a lot of
can't
time.
Get past that.
I know. It's the craziest thing.
And it goes back all the way back to Bristol last year when they surprised us and Buescher got the win.
Yep.
It's just consistent.
Yep.
He's there enough to go, oh, maybe today's going to be Brad's day. And then he just drops off the face of the earth.
The season he's putting together right now looks exactly like his last Penske season.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, after what happened in 2022, I think he'll take that, even if he doesn't have the win to back it up.
Right.
But man, he just continues to like claw away at the season. And I know he missed out on the chance at the championship, but I wouldn't be surprised if he figured out a way to win one of these races somehow.
I think his best shot's this weekend.
Probably, yeah, I would agree with that. Martinsville, I just don't know what to do with because we know the Fords aren't always fast.
Yeah.
But they'll be good. They'll be good at Martinsville, I think.
Yeah, I think you're looking at the playoff guys really being. I mean, they're really going to be those top eight are going to be the cream of the crop the next 3 weeks. They're who we're going to be focusing on. They're going to be at the front. There's going to be a couple of them battling for the lead. So
yeah,
yeah. NASCAR Xfinity Series was in action on Saturday, the Allsco Uniforms 302. And I guess if you're going to get your first ever win. You do it by leading 103 of 201 laps, and you do it in your hometown. Riley Herbst, finally, in victory lane.
Just beat the hell out of the competition.
Yeah, he did. It wasn't even, I mean, what was it, 15 seconds?
It was, yeah. Like, he basically...
Nobody wins races like that anymore.
No, and it's crazy because the, you know, normally the Xfinity Series will put on a pretty good show. Yeah. But mile and a half, we forget what mile and a half used to look like in the Cup Series. And I'll tell you what, that looked like a Cup Series mile and a half from not that long ago.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, I mean, he just came out there and put a Truex on him.
Yep.
And then
62 laps led by his teammate. Cole Custer. So, I mean, that's most of your race.
Yep.
The only two other drivers with double digits were Chandler Smith with 23 laps led and 11 laps led by Josh Berry. And that's it, man.
I got to tell you, Eric, clear out. I have to make an apology.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago on this very platform, I dismissed Riley Herbst.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did.
Well, and it was a dismissal of like epic proportions, like, and ever since then, I guess I don't know if I put the hex on myself or gave him some sort of superpower, but he's looked a lot better ever since then. And announced his new deal for the Xfinity Series again next year. He'll be coming back to Stuart Haas. I mean, I can't really take it away from him. He's running really well again. So yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good for Riley. It's nice to see him finally get that win. Like I said, to do it in your hometown is pretty darn cool. Plenty of celebration at the end of that one.
Yeah, and it meant something to him.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's there's been a lot of talk the last week or so about the Cup guys coming back down into the Xfinity Series. And you just miss out on opportunities like this more often if you have the Cup guys always out there. I just thought that it's just a meaningful moment for some of these young guys. And I'm kind of glad we've got the balance that we have, because you can develop a talent like that.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
I'm always cheering for the late race caution. And this was one race where I was like, just let it go.
Yeah.
Green, can have one. Give them a win.
Yeah. And another thing I thought about too, with this one specifically, there's a lot of people. I do this too. We dismiss some talent and we dismiss guys who bring money to the table or whatever,
right,
who we think they might not belong. And one thing that I know I forget about is seat time.
Yeah.
And serving a purpose in the Xfinity Series and in the Truck Series. And shame on me, because I will defend somebody like Haley Deegan, who's just out there logging laps, right? Getting time, getting seat time, and it's so important. And I believe in that. And then I will dismiss somebody like Riley Herbst. And it just goes to show you, like, he's keeps grinding, he keeps putting in the work, and he's just become a little bit more solid.
Yeah.
And I know this year was a little bit of a step back from where he probably wanted to be with this team, but now he's got that one. Maybe he's somebody who could contend for maybe a top 5 points finish in 2024. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, and it's all because he continues to have the opportunity to get more seat time.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that's what these series are all about, getting these young guys opportunities and gals, if you want to talk about Haley Deegan,
right,
getting those opportunities.
Yeah, I really don't have anything to add to that. You can't really say anything better than that. It's definitely a good take.
Yeah, I need to remind myself of that sometimes, where I dismiss. I part of peek behind the curtain. Sometimes I do it for show, but
right,
then I truly believe it sometimes too.
You wouldn't do that.
I don't play a character on here.
Never. Yeah. So I was going to pull up the point standings here real quick, but NASCAR's site makes it so freaking difficult to find anything that's not Cup Series. Playoff standings for the Xfinity Series.
I can give you the as they points after this race. Hold on. If you go right. Of course my mouse is stuck. Boy, this is a way to kick off the 300th episode.
Right.
John Hunter has a plus 26 on Justin Allgaier. Austin Hill is next. He's third. Cole Custer, Chandler Smith, Sam Mayer, Sammy Smith, and Sheldon Creed.
Sheldon Creed.
I wasn't ready for it.
I know. I was slow playing it, but Sheldon Creed. So that's your top eight right now.
There you go.
I was going to say Sheldon Creed and Sammy Smith are they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Chandler Smith and Sam Mayer are in a little bit of trouble.
Sammy Smith is one that can pull out a win somewhere.
I think Chandler Smith could win too if he had the right.
Yeah.
If it was the right day.
Yeah.
Cole Custer's on the bubble. I don't like sitting on the bubble. But it's pretty close. I mean, John Hunter's in. John Hunter just shows up,
right,
he'll get in. But the rest of them, it's not a given even for Allgaier.
Yeah.
At this point.
No, I agree.
Yep.
Let's see. That was Riley Herbst's first victory in 139 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. Chandler Smith in fourth was your highest finishing rookie for the Xfinity Series at Las Vegas. Let's talk a little news, which I didn't have in the notes, but we just mentioned him.
Yes, we did.
We'll hit it again.
Sheldon Creed
announces he is not coming back to Richard Childress Racing next year.
In a response to Richard Childress announcing that he wouldn't be coming back.
Right. Yeah.
Eric, is there any race team that does a worse job?
No.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
Richard Childress Racing.
Does it not sound like they're just freaking out of the loop all the time?
I feel like they have a keyboard warrior over there who's just mad.
I don't know.
The timing could not be worse.
It's probably RC himself.
It might be. Oh, maybe it's ChatGPT writing it for Richard.
RC's like, here, hold my watch.
Yeah.
And tapping away at the keyboard.
So Sheldon Creed's obviously got plans in place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We got an idea of where he's going.
I found it really interesting that Denny Hamlin was so adamant that he doesn't know where Sheldon Creed is going next year on his podcast.
Denny Hamlin is tapped in on all this.
You know Denny Hamlin knows what's going on at JGR, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I would imagine Denny Hamlin probably knows where Sheldon Creed's going to go.
I think it's – I mean – okay, let's assume. Okay, we'll just say we assume.
Yeah.
Let's assume Sheldon Creed is going to Gibbs. That's a pretty good move for him, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely, for sure.
I mean, but I don't know. I don't know what to do with Sheldon Creed just yet. Like, I know he can drive.
He
obviously
definitely proved it in the Truck Series.
And he's hanging around in this playoff run.
He proved it in the Truck Series, in which we now say, I mean, Carson Hocevar is showing us that it's more similar to the Cup Series.
Yep.
Than the Xfinity Series is. So does it matter that he's struggled in the Xfinity Series?
I look at how Austin Hill has performed and I'm like, yeah, I guess. But then Sheldon Creed doesn't have that. He's been in the trucks for so long. I think this year was kind of a gap year a little bit in that sense. And I think he's performed fairly well. I know you've mentioned this a bunch of times. It's like, when is Sheldon going to finally get one? When's he going to finally get one?
I mean, here's the thing. So let me go back to Riley Herbst got his first win in 139 Xfinity Series races.
Yeah.
Sheldon Creed's only got 67 starts.
Exactly.
The Xfinity Series.
Exactly.
So it might be a little early for us to be like, calling him out and saying, you know, he's
right.
And I think, you know, Sheldon has had some poor runs, but Sheldon's had some really good runs too. He's had some races stolen from him. I mean, I sat there and almost watched him win at Darlington last year until the last lap, you know, mm-hmm. theatrics.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think if you're Sheldon Creed, you're not ready for Cup. Despite Daniel Hemric getting a Cup ride for the second time in his career.
Yeah.
You're not ready for Cup, so you need a change of scenery in the Xfinity Series. And it doesn't matter where that change of scenery is as long as it's a top-notch team, but if you're gonna make a change and go from a team that is, you know, a A-minus or B-plus team in the Xfinity Series to an A-plus team, mm-hmm. that's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
So... Yep. And you know, I mean, I guess Toyota takes care of their drivers too, except when they don't. So I don't know.
Well, I think
it's a good move if that's what's going to happen.
Well, and it appears that Toyota is going to take a couple of guys out of the Chevrolet pipeline.
Yeah.
Well, Chandler Smith, again, rumors up in the air. He's got a big contract, but appears that Chandler Smith is going to come back in the fold with Toyota. So that sounds like that's two Gibbs seats right there.
Yeah.
And if you're Sheldon Creed, I don't know what sponsorship he's bringing to Gibbs, but if he can get one of those full-time seats, that's, I mean, that you're not going to get a better opportunity.
No,
that's it. That's that or JR Motorsports, but
yeah,
Gibbs is, you know,
I think I'd choose Gibbs over Junior Motorsports.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. Yep.
And last year I wouldn't have, but this year I sure as heck would.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I mean, you want an example of Joe Gibbs Racing. Look at Kyle Busch this year in the colleague car.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who didn't lose an Xfinity race.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
And he goes over and gets in the colleague car and struggles.
Yep.
Looks like a regular human race car driver. So those JGR cars are really good. If you got an opportunity to drive one of those, you take it.
Yes. 100%. Yep.
So I think it's a good move for him. I think it's a good move for JGR, to be honest. Yep. I mean, I think you got a top prospect driver in the Xfinity series that you're taking with experience. He's a veteran Xfinity driver at this point.
Yep.
I see JGR making those types of moves and making them work. So,
and how many drivers have taken a leap of faith with JGR on a limited schedule?
Yeah.
You know, and if you can get a full time ride, that's even better. You know, yeah. You got Myatt Snyder, and you know, I think Trevor Bayne. Was another like recent reference. I think didn't Jeffrey Earnhardt take a Gibbs ride for a while?
I believe he did.
I mean, some of these guys, it's just not going to work out that way. But if you get a full time seat, you're doing pretty good. So,
yeah, I mean, that's how Ryan Preece got his Cup ride. So, I mean,
he kept hanging around. Yeah, that's a good point. Yep, that's a good point.
Good place to do it.
Yep.
Speaking of Gibbs drivers, John Hunter Nemechek. We'll drive the 42 car at Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend, in place of Carson Hocevar, John Hunter jumping in a Chevrolet. You asked me how much you think he had to pay or that Chevrolet had or Toyota had to pay to get that to happen. It's
probably something.
It's a really, there has to be some money exchange on this one. It's a really, really interesting move. But I mean, I guess. I'm assuming this a lot of this has to do with Carson wanting to concentrate on the Truck Series Championship. Maybe. I don't know.
It seems like, I don't know. I thought that was probably it. And the more I've seen from Carson, like Carson seems like he was okay with this. Like he's not upset. Obviously, it's not his car.
Right.
I think there was an opportunity to get John Hunter in there and see what he can do. I almost view this as a test a little bit to say, okay, we've seen what Carson does in our stuff.
Yeah.
Can we get John Hunter in there and get a little snapshot of what he looks like?
Where do we line up?
Where? Yeah. Are we,
it's definitely a good way to look at next year.
Oh, for sure.
And where
you've
got to go. I mean, you're already talking, they're going to get a waterfall of information with the switch to Toyota once the season ends.
Yeah.
I
wonder if they're not. I wonder if they're not getting a little bit of information from Toyota themselves right now. Too,
I don't know, man.
Possibly. It's tough. It's tough. And Jimmy Johnson was super, like, you know, he was super cool about this. He's like, yeah, I've got great partners at Chevy. I've got great partners coming in with Toyota. We made this happen.
Yeah.
So
it's not something you see all the time. That's for sure.
No, and we didn't mention this on the pod last week, but Matt Kenseth came on board.
Yeah.
And he's directing their competition something or another.
Just adding that legacy moniker.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. And maybe Matt Kenseth came on board and said, why aren't we pushing to get, you know, John Hunter a little bit of seat time in our stuff to see what he's doing? So,
right.
I don't know. Interesting.
Lastly, Carson Hocevar, surprisingly, I mean, this shocked all of us, signs with Spire Motorsports to drive the 77 car in 2024 for the Cup Series. You didn't see this coming, right, James?
No, nobody saw it coming. No.
I mean, everybody's been talking for like 6 months that this is going to happen and
yeah,
like it was already done. So
yeah,
good for Carson. Did, you know,
he just did 12 questions with Jeff Gluck. I listened to it today. I tell you what, man, he's coming in. he's coming in as polished as I've seen a guy come in. Like, he talks media wise, he talks very well. He's got a great personality, and we've talked about that a million times. And we've seen him drive, yeah. And he's solid. Like, he's very solid.
So here's a question for you. He's driving the 42 car right now for Legacy. Obviously, that car struggled with Noah Gregson in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. Eric Jones hasn't lit the world on fire in most places this year either. Mm-hmm. He's going over to Spire next year. Is that a step up or a step down for him in the Cup Series?
I think it'll be... For him, it's going to be, I think, a lateral step. But if he were staying with Legacy, that would be a step up because of where they're going.
Yeah.
Spire... I mean,
there's a lot of money going into Spire right now.
Spire's making some stuff go, making some stuff happen. I just think they're a year away from being where they want to be. I think next year's going to be a little bit of a... I will say this. I think Hosovar comes in and he outperforms Corey LaJoy right off the bat. I've seen enough. Yeah, I've seen enough. Yeah, I
think you're right. I mean, I think he outperformed Corey LaJoy when Corey LaJoy got Chase's ride.
Right. Right. And Zane Smith's got the other car over there, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, I think he'll be the best driver on that team next year.
I think it was Denny said that he expects him to drop about 2 to 3 positions.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So
from where he is right now.
Yeah. It'll be a little bit of a step back from the 42.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't know.
I don't think Spire's going to be there. Like, Spire's not going to be track house next year.
No.
Like, they're not, that's not.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of investment going on there though. If you can invest in the right people that can bring that information over or make what information they have work.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. I mean, they've got the checkbook open, so.
Money, and you've, you know.
Again, we've talked about, though, you have to displace somebody.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know who you displace. And I know we've seen.
Stuart Haas is working hard to be displaced.
God, man, that's 4 spots on the grid you can have.
Yeah.
Especially with that 4 car coming back down.
No offense to Josh Berry, but Josh Berry is not going to come into that team and turn it around.
Yeah, I am as worried about Stuart Haas as I've ever been.
Yeah.
And that's been something that's been growing inside of me for a while. Like, I'm like, I don't like anything that's going on over there right now, other than their paint schemes.
That car is going to look pretty this weekend. That's for sure.
Yes. That red Budweiser. I just miss having that Budweiser sponsorship out there. It's just iconic.
I don't drink any of it, but
I don't care about the Bud
sponsorship is a lot better than the Busch sponsorship, in my opinion.
But yeah, Budweiser on a NASCAR Cup car is just makes sense.
Especially that red label, man. That car was one of the best cars that Kevin Harvick ever drove.
Oh, that 2014 number 4 car was something else.
Yeah,
like that team was figuring it out on the fly, and they were bad fast everywhere they went.
Yep.
So yeah, it was bad to the bone that ride.
Yes,
for a long time. That car used to strike fear into people.
Yeah.
For a couple of seasons there.
For sure.
Yeah. When him and Rodney first got together, man, whew.
Yep.
That was magic.
Yes, it was.
They're still making magic right now, all the way to the end. I don't care what anybody says.
Yep, I agree.
What they're doing with that.
Oh yeah.
S-box of a ride. Like, oh man. Yeah.
Any more news, James?
I think we got it all, man. I can check the X.
Go ahead and check X, check Elon's playground and see if there's anything on there, but I don't think there is. We head from Las Vegas to Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend. Unfortunately not for the championship round, but at least we're in the playoffs.
Right.
With it. The all 3 series in action this weekend. It is the penultimate race for the Truck Series. NASCAR Cup Series will run the Forever 400 presented by Mobil 1 in honor of Kevin Harvick. NASCAR Xfinity Series Contender Boats 300 and the Truck Series will run the Baptist Healthcare 200 at Homestead, Miami. And Dale Jr.'s racing this weekend, James.
Yeah, he's back. Is he going to win?
I hope so, man. That would be so cool.
As long as it doesn't catch on fire on him this time.
As long as it doesn't catch on fire and Dustin Allgaier is not running second.
Oh, God. Yeah, keep him out of there.
If Dustin Allgaier is running second, then Earnhardt's going to be in there with a cigarette lighter trying to start a fire.
All bets are off. Yeah. Yep.
We get to make our picks for this weekend. Again, I mentioned earlier in the podcast, James, thank you very much for picking poorly last week intentionally. Oof. Just to kind of give me a chance. I'm only 130 out now, so
It's not over. I guess it's not mathematically over.
Might as well be.
Well, I tell you what, if you beat me by 50 points the next 3 weeks, you could take the title.
Well, we'll see if you're going to continue to give me softballs or not. I am going to contradict pretty much everything I said in this episode, James. And I'm going to pick MTJ. Got to win, man. He's good at Homestead, and he's won here before. So I'm taking Martin.
Martin Truex Jr. Oh, I see you're in the notes. I'm going to let you go ahead. You got it. You got it. I was thinking about saving this driver for Martinsville, but I have a good feeling that he's going to put together a really nice points day at Homestead. So I'm going to take Dennis right here. I'm going to put Denny Hamlin in, and, I'm just banking on, Denny, get me a solid 40 and get me to Martinsville nice and clean.
There you go. I really was debating taking C Bell this weekend, but I'm saving him for Martinsville. So.
Yeah, that's the tricky part too. We've got the championship race where we gotta watch our points that we use. But yeah. I haven't picked Martin yet, and I don't even know if I will, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I got 34 points out of him the first time I picked him back at Martinsville.
Yeah. Well, one thing we do have in common is we both won with Kyle Larson. I won back way back at Richmond, and then I actually got a win with Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, yeah, you did. You're right.
And then Byron. So I've got those three that I captured, but yeah, that was, Eric, you put the biggest butt whooping on. So, I mean, you've got something to build on.
The only way you can do better than that is to win Coke 600.
Yeah, exactly. And for me to finish with 1 point or get a disqualification.
There you go.
Yeah.
How'd fantasy go, James?
Well, I thought I was going to do better when we had the Ryan Blaney penalty. That wasn't a penalty. But that didn't happen. I thought I was going to get second, but we have a couple of ties. So first place was a tie. Shut Up Roger and Tandem Draftona. They tied for first, 252. And then for third, I tied with Ranger, 240. So three-time champ was tied with me in third. And then Eric, we got you. Where are you?
Ninth,
222. You didn't have a bad day.
No.
Didn't have a bad day.
I forgot to even look at it until just before we started recording tonight. I went and looked at it. It's like, why did I look at it? Why did I bother?
I'm 4 points behind Barron in the fun playoff standings there, trying to beat him in something. and then he's still up 6,716 to my 6,325. The championship is just about mathematically out of reach. I got 24 points on Barron, on Ranger. He's third. So still pretty close between second and fourth. Green Eggs and Hamlin a little bit further back. He's 100 points behind second now. So we're getting a little bit of a gap there, but that's the battle. Battles for second still.
Nice.
Yep.
James, we got some audio messages this week.
Oh
yeah, I know, right? It's pretty exciting.
I'm excited. How many did we get?
We got two. We got two.
What, we got two in 1 week?
We got two in 1 week.
Are you doing a thing? Are you?
No, I'm not. Prank? No, no, it's not a prank. They're legit. I mean, you'll hear them and you'll understand, but it's legit. 100% legit. So
I know what this is. Go ahead.
Here's our first one.
Oh. Hey, Jim and Eric. This is Green Eggs and Hamlins. Yeah, there's congratulating one. You guys on 300 episodes. That's 300 hours of you two just talking NASCAR with each other at least. I can't even get through a whole minute of trying to record us on Anchor and FM without starting my way through it. So, yeah, it's impressive to say at least. I enjoy listening to your show. I hope you get another 300 episodes in you. And I mean, it might be asking a lot. I don't know, but keep it up.
It is.
looking forward to odds on the rest of the season. And go Tyler Reddick.
Putting us on the spot. Good. Do you think we'll be doing this in 6 years, James?
Well, if I'm still on this earth, yes. I climate change might get us before then. I don't know. We'll see.
NASCAR will be racing hybrid or electric cars by then.
Maybe.
We'll be flying. The Xfinity series will be SUVs.
Yes. Well, that was a good surprise. I like that. That was a good one.
Here's the next one.
Hey guys, friend of the pod, Todd here. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on episode 300. Been listening since the beginning and hope you guys have at least 300 more. Keep up the great work, guys. You guys represent the sport well.
Does it bring a little tear to your eye?
It does. That was really nice.
Very nice. Thank you guys for reaching out. You. Definitely appreciate it. It's always a pleasant surprise when I get the notification on my phone that there's a message in Anchor.
And you got two of them.
Yeah, two in the same week.
Well done.
So good stuff. Thank you.
No, that was good. That was nice. Those valuable listeners. I know I probably drive both of them nuts in different ways. So no, I appreciate the kind words. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely very cool. James, shout outs. I'm going to let you go first because you might take mine or I might take yours. So I want to make sure to
give it to you. Maybe we can share it because obviously Baron Speedway, yes. Friend of the pod, right? Yep. So I was on Instagram. I'll tell the story and this is my way to do the shout out. I'm on Instagram and also obviously I follow Noah Lefty, right? Lefty Sweet, right? Who's I think people will remember he got to design Jimmy Johnson's car. Yeah. He's working in the sport now from all intents and purposes. But I get to Noah's page on my feed and I stopped because I see a car going around a track and. Usually I stop, but particularly I'm like, damn, that turn looked like Baron Speedway. And the cars go along and all these graphics that he's made. I mean, the work he does is it just looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it still. And I haven't read the description. I'm like, that is Baron Speedway. And I scroll in there and sure enough, Noah has Baron Speedway tagged right in the description. I'm like, oh man, I send him a message right away. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like they recreated Baron Speedway, in this post. Now they're doing more, Eric.
Yeah. I saw the new one. Yeah.
So yeah, really cool that Lefty's out there. Our boy, man, he's made it.
Yeah.
He's made it. It's pretty cool.
I know. I retweeted it and suggested that Steve Myers from iRacing does a scan of the track. That'd be pretty cool. Let's get into iRacing.
Yeah, that would be great.
But very just awesome. I mean, first of all, I mean, the Baron Speedway, enough of it is a dream of mine to have a track like that. Secondly, in real life, that track would be awesome because it's a great track.
Yeah.
And to see it digitally like that is so cool. So,
yeah. And I've got the mat from him when he started selling the mats and I bust out for the girls every once in a while. And to see it in 3D. Awesome. It's really cool, man. I don't know. What he's done with that project of his that we stumbled upon a couple years.
There's so many other ones out there, but there's none that are done as well as his, and nobody has gotten the attention that he's gotten.
I know. That's why, Eric, we really got to get out and
see it. I know.
We got to see it.
I know. We were just in Grand Rapids. I don't know why we didn't stop. I know. We should have stopped. I'll give him a shout out as well. And I don't remember why now. I just drew a freaking blank. Why was I going to shout out Baron Speedway? Wow. Holy cow. He did 300 episodes and I've just.
Well, he was. He's co-hosted with us a couple of times. He's been on a couple of times. When we were in Berlin, we were probably less than 100 feet apart at multiple times.
Right.
Because we didn't have any Wi-Fi or signal. We couldn't get to him, but
yeah,
one of these days.
Yeah. I can't remember what I was going to say, but anyway, just awesome deal. Very cool to see him continuing to get the attention. And very cool for Noah to pick it up and do a little project with it. So very neat.
Yep.
How about black flags? James, you got a black flag?
I was going to say NASCAR originally, but then they fixed their mistake. So I don't know if I should still give my black flag for the Blaney thing. You know, what I will say, speaking of Blaney, him and Bubba duking it out on Twitter/X. Really good.
Very good.
Really good. So I feel like you and I have had those types of conversations before.
Yes.
Yeah. So
when they haven't happened here on the podcast, they've happened on Twitter. Or in our personal messages with each other.
Yeah, usually not in text messages. We're usually nicer in text messages.
Yeah, I don't know. we've gone at it in the group chat a few times. There's been some Tony Stewart slams I've thrown at you and stuff like that. Yeah, so
that's cool. That's fine.
I know we've debated the relevancy of Matt Kenseth to the death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's I feel like I won one. That one at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I feel pretty good about that.
You did. my black flag goes to the circus at the end of the Winchester 400. This week, if you haven't seen it, Matt Weaver's got a good write-up on it on shorttrackscene.com.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you brought this up.
So Steven Nassi and Gio Ruggiero, I think is how you say his last name. I could have that wrong, but
close enough.
They basically, Steven Nassi's running away with this race. There's a late caution with 10 laps to go. Gio lines up inside, Steven Nassi on the outside, and Gio runs him into the fence on the restart coming out of turn two. Steven falls back, gets back up to third, isn't able to catch completely back up. So Ruggiero comes down to the front stretch to celebrate his win. And Nassi pulls up next to him, giving him the bird, runs into his car. And then Gio decides to peel out to get away from him, maybe do a burnout, something, and clips. It turned out it was his Nassi's dad, I believe, and sends him flying. And so it's just a mess. And first of all, I don't know who to be annoyed with here because, I mean, Gio has a history of roughing people up. But again, this is short track racing and it happens. Nassi's done plenty of it himself. So it's nothing new to either of these guys. I don't know what the hell these guys are doing on the front stretch to begin with when the cars are still running. To me, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily blame Gio for hitting the guy when the guy's on the track. He shouldn't be on the track during a celebration, essentially. And obviously a heated moment as well. He wasn't going out there to give his congratulations to Gio. He's going out there to cause a scene. So I thought there were rules against going on tracks and stuff. And obviously it just went out the window here. James, every time the Cup guys are doing a burnout on the front stretch and that camera guy's running around him, I think of this and just waiting for it to happen.
Same for me. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw this too.
I'm more nervous watching that than I am during any ARCA race at Talladega. And that tells you something.
Oh my God.
And then after the race, Gio's hauler had his tire slashed, so nobody's owned up to that. But, yeah, just a mess. I was going to go to this race. I was planning on going down there for it and ended up skipping out on it.
Well, you missed a good one.
I know. I want to go to Winchester so bad. It's such a cool facility. Watching those cars, there was a YouTube video of the last 10 laps, and watching those cars go around that place, I'd love to see a Xfinity or truck race there. It's just this stuff, you know, it's fun to watch, but when somebody gets hit by a car, it's too much.
I know.
I know there's gonna be fines and penalties that come down, but it's not gonna fix the issue. And this stuff just looks stupid. And you do it here at this level, and then you start beating on people in the truck garage and NASCAR, and just, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just silly. I mean, I will say that they did a good job of keeping these guys apart and not having a big brawl. I mean, I guess a guy got hit by a car, so it's still pretty bad.
Yeah, maybe that
did
it. Definitely did it. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a mess. So, bummer because it's a good race and it all gets clouded up by the mess that happened afterwards. So,
yep.
There you go. Anything else before we head on out after episode 300, man?
I know I hate to have an abrupt end, but I think we're there.
Well, where can people find you on social media if they want to chat with you about the next 300?
Yeah, at James Cush on Twitter or X would be fine.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on X. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find old episodes of the podcast on there going back a ways, not all the way back to episode one though, thank God. The podcast is also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe and listen for new episodes each week. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can be like Green Eggs and Hamlin and Todd and leave us an audio message. And guess what? We will probably play it on the show because we don't get a lot of them. So we head to Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend, one of the best tracks in NASCAR, all three series in action. We'll be back next week to break it all down and preview Martinsville. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.